Tachnun. There's more to do on Tachnun. Tomorrow, what I want to do with you is, I have your new sefer. I didn't finish up all the other sefers. We must spend maybe 2-3 more days on Tachnun. There's some very interesting things. Does anyone know? Does anyone know the makar, the source for v'chu rachum? Today we all said v'chu rachum. Unless you didn't say Tachnun today. You didn't all say okay. But there's a very beautiful tefillah called v'chu rachum. It's very long, and it's a very, very powerful prayer. And there are really three parts to the prayer. Does anyone know who composed it? The story behind its composition, who wrote it, how many times Hashem's name appears, v'chulu v'chulu. So instead of me trying to tell it over to you outside, I think the best thing to do is that I have this wonderful sefer called Mekorei HaTzvila. Okay, it's 2 volumes so far. They have put out 2 volumes. Hopefully there will be more volumes. And he has here 2 pages telling us the history of v'chu rachum. So instead of me telling it to you outside, I think it will be very, very worthy. I'm going to make a photocopy, and we'll go through it inside, the history of how it came into existence. He basically presents 3 versions. They're similar but different of how the prayer of v'chu rachum came into existence. So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to make photocopies, and we'll do it inside. That way, because...
Why is the Ashkenaz version longer than the...
It is? Same thing.
Same thing.
No, it's not version.
No, Sephardi.
Different words? I don't know. I guess they embellish it.
The only difference is the Ashkenaz...
The order.
You say the...
When you say the order.
The Tefillah Sephardi in the middle.
Okay, so I just want to give you something. All right, so stay tuned. I want to do that inside you tomorrow. I think it'll be very, very interesting because I always wondered about this. And then even when you hear the answer, you forget it very quickly. It's kedai to go to try to burn it into your mind where it comes from, the sources, and the story, and that will definitely give it so much more meaning. It's hard, it's very hard to say it. People are very frustrated. Monday, Thursday, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think about, oh no, today v'chu rachum, right? Right? That's the first thing that comes. Let me press snooze, right? Oh, v'chu rachum, snooze, I'm not getting out of bed. So the truth is, it's a beautiful prayer, and if you have an appreciation of how it came into existence, it might, maybe it'll make a difference, and to bring that out, we have to do it slowly, and read what he says, Mila b'mila. It's very hard to find a source for this. Over here, he really presents it well, tells you the story. It's easy Hebrew, easy reading, and we'll do that tomorrow. In the meantime, I want to finish up a few more things about Tachlan. Question. I left you last week with a question, the $600,000 question, or the $6 million question, whatever you want to call it, and that is, on a day of a yard site, do you say Tachlan? If you have a Rebbe, a very choshev Rebbe, it's the Rebbe's yard site. Is that an excuse not to say Tachna? It's done. Ma'is mechol yom. So my question to you is, show me the source. Where does it say? I can show you a source not to say Tachna on Chanukah, not to say in Purim. Purim is not so simple. You should know that in ancient times they said.
You see it by Avraham Avinu's yard site.
When's his yard site?
Wasn't Yaakov making
the Zadoshims? When was that?
It was a Yartzah. Was it? Did he die that day?
Yes. They were not Velos.
So where does it say they didn't say Tachnun?
All of the things that we discussed last week are days when you do not say Tachnun. There are sources. There are Mekoros in the early Mekoros that tell us that you explicitly say today is a Yom Tif. On a Yom Tif, you do not say Tachnun. A real Moed, you don't. Rosh Chodesh is a Me'ena Yom Tif. So you don't say Tachanukah, you're saying Halal. So you don't say Tachan. Purim, you should know. Purim, no. So first of all, some even faster. That's not a Raya.
But this is the Gemara said,
Miriam died, when Miriam died, Misa Sadikim, what does it say? So it's mechaper. So what? So it's mechaper. High luchud v'high luchud. It's a mechaper. So you still say tachlan. Where do you find the makar not to say tachanunim on a day when a person dies? even Purim, it's a modern thing in our generation. We don't say Tachanun on Purim. Why don't you say Tachanun on Purim? What's the holiday? The whole nature of the holiday is a hidden miracle. Every day there are hidden miracles. It is a Purim miracle. The miracle, we appreciate the hiddenness of the miracle. You don't say Hallel on Purim. You say you lay in the Megillah. So you'll tell me the Kriyasa Zu Hilula. Okay, but does that carry weight in Halacha? Not necessarily. Kriyasa, the laying of the Megillah, is a form of Hallel, but not to the degree where it's called a Yom Tov, where you don't say Tachna. Obviously, that's not.
Say Purim Cotton.
Obviously, it's not our custom. We're very lenient with regard to Tachna for one very simple reason. We were never mekabel Tachnun as an obligation. We say the recital of Tachnun is a reshus. It's not an obligation. We machmir, we say Tachnun. Myrif was also never an obligation. It's only a reshus. However, Myrif was accepted. Although technically Myrif is a reshus, Klal Yisrael accepted to daven Myrif every single day as a choiva. Not Tachnun. Tachnun's a reshus. We were not mekabel to recite Tachnun to the same degree we were accepted to daven Myrif every single day. It's somewhere in the middle. We say it religiously every single day, but it's not an absolute choiva, and therefore, being that it's only a reshus, we're very, very lenient. Option. No obligation to do so. If you want to do, you'll get extra credit, but you have no obligation to do so. Being that it's only a reshus, we're very, very lenient, and any opportunity we have not to say Tachnun, we don't say Tachnun. We still don't say Tachnun on the day of Simcha, and also on Chosan, we're not going to, like we say, Chosan, Zayin, Mei, Mishteh, some don't say, you don't say all Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you don't say during the days when you don't say the day before, the list goes on and on. We're very, very generous in not reciting Tachnun, but you still have to have a reason. You just can't go and not say Tachnun. So what about a Yahrzeit? A Yahrzeit, is that a legitimate reason why we can fall back and say it's only a reshus? And therefore, you don't have to say Tachnun. It's done every single day. So try, show me chapter and verse, show me a source, somewhere in Chazal, somewhere in Risha, in Acher, and somewhere, why you would not have to say Tachnun a day when a tzaddik dies. So guess what? Is there a source? So the closest source we can find is Lag BaOmer. Because there's a legend, is it true? Probably not true, but there's a legend that Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer. Rashbi's Yahrzeit is Lag BaOmer. And Rashbi was happy to go. As we mentioned, we discussed, when we discussed Lag BaOmer, the difference between Rashbi and Moshe. When Moshe died, we fast. When Rashbi dies, we celebrate. Why? How could it be that for one person we celebrate? The answer is, the will of a person is his honor. Moshe did not want to die. Moshe desperately wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He did not want to die. It was the greatest tsar for Moshe Rabbeinu to die. If Moshe has tsar, we have tsar. Rashbi couldn't wait another minute to go. Rashbi wanted to go. That's it. He has done his mission in this world. And he was looking forward to going. It was a day of a celebration. He did his tachlis. He achieved his mission fully in this world. There was nothing more for him to do. And now he revealed the Sisrei Torah to the world. And it was a simcha of him to leave this world, to go back and return his neshama from where it came from. If this is your simcha, it's our simcha. Ritzoynei shel Adam zehu kivaydai. Therefore, we rejoice with him. We celebrate with him. So it turns out, and Lag BaOmer, we don't say Tachnun. Why? Because it's the Yahrzeit of a tzaddik, of Rashbi. So now, by extension, if my Rebbe died on this day, my Rebbe is my Rashbi. If this Kehila had a Rebbe, and that Rebbe died, what? So there are many dimensions. Maybe at the time he didn't want to go, but now he would be happy to go. There are different dimensions. In hindsight, In hindsight, he accomplished a lot. We don't look at the negative. Okay? We're not negative people. Moshe is different. Because Moshe, we lay in every year, Moshe was Hanan Hashem, Moshe Melukim, Atach Yilois, Laharois. Moshe was Mispal. Moshe, in our mind, never wanted to go. But Stam, a person.
He didn't want to go. He wanted to go there to show, of course.
He didn't want to die. The purpose is he didn't want to die. He was taken from this world prematurely. The Chayt Me'a Meriva, the whole Petir of Moshe Rabbeinu was a premature death. That's why it's so painful. Rashbi was not a premature death.
He wanted to die before he started.
I know, but the bottom line is Moshe Rabbeinu died prematurely. He died prematurely. Therefore, it's a tzar, we fast. Rashbi was not a tzar. Rashbi achieved his tachlis and he was happy to go. He managed, could not wait to go, to return his neshama, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, only in Yoni Kabbalah. So we rejoice with him. So every time there's a Rebbe, in hindsight, the Rebbe, of course, didn't want to go. Okay, no one's a Rashbi. But there's a degree, there's an element in every in tzaddikim. There's nothing that's black and white. The fact is, it was a tzar that he died. But on the other hand, look what he accomplished. Look at the great, amazing accomplishments of this person. And certainly in Shemayim, they are rejoicing what he has done, the influence, the change he has made in this world. He's a Rashbi. Every time a person we are celebrating, we are not saying Yahrzeit because of a patira of a tzaddik. What we are, the only makar is we are connecting him and us to Lag BaOmer. That is the makar why you do not recite Svira on, you do not recite Tachnun on a Yahrzeit. That is the only makar. You're not going to find another makar anywhere else. However, it's a very, very, very weak source. Because the truth is, it's not likely Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer. Rashbi was Megale Sisrei Torah. That's the tradition. He revealed the Sisrei Torah on Lag BaOmer. The reason why we don't say Tachan Lag BaOmer is really because the Al Pi Halacha, the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva stopped dying. It has nothing to do with Rashbi. Another reason why we don't say Tachan, it's a Yom Tov for the world, because Rabbi Akiva gave smicha, there's a legend, he gave smicha on this day to five new Talmidim to rebuild the world. It was a new edition of this world when he gave smicha to rebuild Torah. Talmidim stopped dying, he gave smicha. The Sisrei Torah was revealed to the world. Three reasons why you don't say Tachan. Rashbi revealed the Sisrei Torah. Rabbi Akiva gave smicha to new Talmidim. The Talmidim Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. But to say the reason why we're not saying Talmidim, but the Rashbi die, first of all, there is absolutely no makar that Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer. There's no source. You're not going to find this anywhere. And in fact, people who seem to know something, they seem to say it's impossible. We have a source that he could not possibly have done a Lag BaOmer. He revealed on this day the Sisrei Torah. He called his Talmidim together and he says, here it is. Here's the Sefer. Here is the Zohar. I went last night. So I never want something like this. Basically, someone that I know, he's publishing a new Sefer. It's coming out soon. An unbelievable Sefer on Taras HaMishpacha, Hilchas Nida. Hilchas Nida, Taras HaMishpacha. His name is Epstein. What's his first name? How could I forget? His last name is Epstein. He gives chassam classes for many, many years. His wife gives kala classes. He gives chassam classes. He's been professionally trained to help people with shalom bayis issues. And you know, he works more than full time. He works 24/7 as an accountant. He took over his father's. He's a very, very, very. What's his son's name?
Reuven.
Reuven Epstein. So he works mamish nonstop. He can't even get hold of him. He's working so hard in his father's accounting firm. But on the side, I don't know how he has time for this. He fits in. He does chassan kala classes. Chassan classes. What? This kala class is very, very popular. And he also has a niche. He also has a certain. He has a talent in dealing with helping people in relationships. So over the years, he put together, he's putting out a sefer on basically the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. And so they basically, his friends made for him last night a fundraising event where, like a parlor meeting, so to speak, we have speakers, music, this and that, where people, like a parlor meeting event, his friends, that people should give money to the cost of publishing the Sefer. And they had their symbol of the Sefer. It's an amazing Sefer. It's really, you got to see, it's really, really fascinating. So that's what Rashbi did. The fundraising event for the publication of the Zohar took place in Lag BaOmer. That's what it was. It was a parlor meeting, and they had music, and they had speakers, and they came together to give money for the publication of Sefer HaZohar. He didn't die on Lag BaOmer. Who said that he died on Lag BaOmer? Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer? Prove it to me. Where does it say that he died? That's why you're not saying Tachla. You're not saying Tachla. It's because he was Megala, the sister of Yom Tov, to the world. Rashbi, tell me that Rabbi Kiva died. New smicha was given to tell me that he died. Who says he died? Where do you think he died? It's a myth that he died on Lag BaOmer. So that's the only makar. The only makar for not to say Tachla.
No, the Ramos Yart.
The Ramos Yart. Okay, the Ramos Yart was a Litvak. Ramos didn't want to die, though. Ramos died very, very young. Ramos was more like a Moshe Rabbeinu.
He was very young.
Very young. 40, 43, 47, different opinions. Some say he was 33. Can't be. Some say he was 30. He was 33 years old.
He was in his 30s. Some say 36.
Some say 40. It's not really clear. There's so many versions of how old he was, but he died very, very young.
If you say it's because the Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, so you see that it's not because somebody dying, it's because somebody stopped
not dying. Exactly. So this is the only makar, but the only makar is based upon this idea that he died. But that's really not the real reason why you don't say Tachlin. So it's there, and also there is no source anywhere that says explicitly he died on Lag BaOmer. So it's a very, very weak makar not to say Tachlin because it's a Deva Yom Tov. And you know who said this? None other than the Satmar Rav himself. The Satmar Rav will always tell people there's no makar, cut out the nonsense. Cut out the nonsense, say Tachlin. The only, he used to tell people, if you don't want to say Tachlin, you're telling me that you can't concentrate, you're distracted because things are going on in your life or other or whatever, okay, that's legitimate. If a person comes to Mincha and, you know, he had a bad day at the office, he had a fight, you lost a lot of money, the stock market crashed, no Tachlin. That's right, no Tachlin. If the market goes down by, they should have a certain, you know, they have the screen telling you how much the market, if the market, the rule is, if the market goes down by a certain percentage, no Tachlin. Why? No one can concentrate. No one, because people are very depressed. Then you say Tachlin, even if it will be, even on the Yom Tov. What? If it goes up, one thing you can say, you don't tell me you can't concentrate. You can concentrate. Things are good. When things are good, there's no excuse not to concentrate. That's what the Sabbath would tell people. Say the mark, but he would say, tell people, if you're telling me that you can't concentrate, that's an excuse. But to tell me there's a yard site, there's no such thing. So why then do we do it? Okay, we do it because I guess we hold that Rashbi did die. He did. If he didn't die and he was still alive today, we would make sure that he died so we can do it. We would have him go. We would send him off. On Lag BaOmer, in order that we have a makar that there's a day when a tzaddik died, and because the tzaddik died, we do not say Tachlin. Okay, so that is as far as the other things. I'm forgetting certain things, but I want to tell you another. Now, there's another part of Tachlin. We mentioned this, and that is Kel Erech HaPayim. Why, before you take out the Sefer Torah in the Siddur, it says a little few words, Kel Erech HaPayim Rav Chesed V'Emes. Now, in the art scroll, there are two different versions. There's a line in between. Nusach Ashkenaz. Pihem Upoilin Katan. What's Pihem? Reading that correctly? Pe Yud He Mem. Name of a place? Nusach Ashkenaz Kama.
Pihem.
Pe Yud He Mem. Whatever that means.
Frankfurt from
Main. Pe Yud He Mem. Upoilin Katan. What's that?
Not the whole
ring point. Poilin Katan. On the left side it says Nusach Poilin Godol Velita. Which
Poilin Godol is what they called Congress Poilin.
You have that by Warsaw. Sleepers.
Paul Kotzner was considered Galicia.
Galicia. Okay.
You have that by Sleepers.
Velita, two different versions. So which one do you say? So in fact, the truth is these two versions, some say know who really composed them, was really composed in Italy. Nowhere near Poland. That's where really that's who composed it. Somehow it made its way to Poland. Some big distance, long distance from Italy to Poland. I don't know how it got from one place to the other.
The Rama was studied in Italy first.
So
Padua.
It says here.
Yeah.
Two versions. Version A, ascribed to the communities of Germany, Bohemia, and Lesser Poland, or Western Galicia.
Germany or Bohemia, that's probably PM. PM is probably Bohemia. Pei Yud Hei Mem is probably the Hebrew for Bohemia.
And version B, the communities of Greater Poland, Poland and Lithuania.
Okay, Lithuania. So the truth is, it says in this book over here, the one who originally composed this tefillah, which is also a chelik of Tachanon, it's interesting, it's a chelik of the Tachanon, even though we have a Kaddish in between, we have a Chatzi Kaddish in between, and we only say this on Monday and Thursday, was composed by the Italians. The Italian, for why did they compose this? It's very bizarre to understand. Because of the latecomers. People came late to shul. Listen to this. They came late to shul, and they were still saying V'hu Rachum, and we did not want them to miss Kriyas HaTorah. I know, it's very strange, right? So they said this very, very slowly.
The Kelsianas always came late.
They said very, very slowly in order to give them time to catch up. Or maybe, I'm not sure what it means, or what it means is, they're going to skip V'hu Rachum no matter what, because they came late. We want them to listen to V'hu Rachum. So if you can't say the long version, so say the short version. At least say words of Tachanunim after Shnone Esrei before you go into Kriyas HaTorah. So I don't know who is composed. Was composed for us to give them more time, composed for them to say something just very quickly before. Seemingly that's what it means. Seemingly it means that. That's not really what it says. But seemingly what it means is that they came late. They're catching up. They're not going to say V'hu Rachum. Say something, Epis, say something in order that you should not go into the Kriyas HaTorah without saying words of Tachanunim. Okay, so it comes from Italy. Why do the Italians come late to Davin and not everyone else? I don't know, but today we live in the big melting pot. So we all, anyway, we say everything. It became a big mishmash. Even if you don't come late today, we say, now which one do you say? So believe it or not, the meaning is to say both. You just say both of them.
Because nobody knows where they're from.
Both of them. Now, it used to be another minhag he cites in this wonderful sefer, Mikori HaTfilah, is the minhag used to be is that the Shliach Tzibur said one, and the Hamoinam responded with the other. It was said responsively. The Shliach Tzibur would say out loud, and the tzibur would respond with the other one, and they would say the other nusach. And what is the difference between the two nusachs? Now this is very interesting. Basically, the difference is on when we say Hallel, what do you say? Ona Hashem Hoshiyana, Ona Hashem Hoshiyana. And then Ona Hashem Hatzlichono, Ona Hashem Hatzlichono. The first Nusuk says, almost the same exact thing, it says, V'hoshienu mikol ra. The second Nusuk says, Chus Hashem alamecha, V'hatzileinu, to save us, not Hoshienu. The first one is Ona Hashem Hoshiyana, and the second one is Hatzlichono, V'hatzileinu mikol ra. Other than that, it's almost identical. It's kimat. Oh, so why don't we join to? Good question. I don't know. Why don't we just join together? So what's the difference between Hoshia and Atzlacha? Okay, what's the difference? So it's interesting. There are many interpretations. Basically, Hoshia, the one that really appeals to me, resonates with me, is Hoshia is on the past, and Hatzlichana is on, and Hatzileinu means on the future. Hashem, we got problems. We got a lot of problems on our plate. Help us. By the time today is over, all the problems should go away. And then when you say Hatzlicha v'Hatzileinu, no new problems. Spare us from the future, from new problems sprouting in the future. That's one. There are other perushim, but that's the one I want to present to you. The Hoshia is the past, and Hatzlocha Hatzileinu is the future. You know, there's a very beautiful thought when it comes to the shaking of the Lulav and Esrog. You know, you only shake the Lulav and Esrog by Ona Hashem Oishiyana, but you don't shake the Lulav and Esrog by Hatzlocha. So the question, what's the Vard? The Vard is, there was once a Talmud, I don't remember who said, maybe it was Rav Chutner who said this, is a Talmud who said to the Rosh Shiva, I want to go, I'm leaving you, I'm going to greener pastures. I'm going elsewhere, I'm going to another yeshiva. Why do you want to go? Why do you want to leave the yeshiva? Are you learning good? Okay, so if the Talmud says, here I don't learn one word, okay, then yeah, I'm doing very, very well. I'm learning very, very well. I've seen a lot of success. Why? Because you're going to see more success, a different derech. In when you say Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, do you shake the lulav? Yeah. Hatzlichana, do you shake the lulav? No. Shaking the lulav is symbolic of you got to move. You got to shake up your life, make changes in your life. If Rachmana Litzlan you need a Yeshua, which has a connotation, you're in a lot of trouble. You got problems. You need a big Yehoshua. You got problems. You're right. You got to shake. Shaking means you got to try something new. But if you're doing okay, everything is fine and good. You want more Hatzlacha. You want a bigger Hatzlacha. I don't need a Yeshua. I'm okay. I'm successful. But I want, you know, maybe I can be, instead of being a millionaire, I can be a billionaire. You don't shake the loaf. For Hatzlacha, you be happy with what you have. Try to improve upon what you have here, but don't go make major changes in your life. So it's very, you know, it's very interesting. You read these two, when you read these two things, it has a whole new meaning to me now. And after I saw this, wait, hold on a second. After I saw this, you say these two things, you really, what you're basically doing is, you're saying halal every single day. Ana Hashem Ashiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Two different versions. One version is focusing on the Hoshia. It's still Tachanun. You're not saying Lekoras Halal Haluka. You're not saying Halal. You're saying over here the words of Tachanunim, and Halal is also Tachanunim. You're just focusing on the Tachanunim, and you're being mispalel the Hoshienu. You're being mispalel the Hatzilenu. It's very kedai to say them both. It's very kedai to be just like Halal. You're not going to see. You're not going to only say Hashem Hoshienu. You're not going to skip Hatzlichana. You're going to say Hatzlichana. You're not going to skip Hoshienu. It's not kedai to skip. These two things have a lot of meaning. Have meaning as well. Okay.
Hoshiyana is redemption, and Hatzlichana for
success.
Succeed in life.
So to succeed. Hoshiyana
is for redemption.
Correct. And so she has a connotation where you have a real tzara, a very great tzara. It's more fundamental.
We need help.
Hatzlacha means everything is okay, but I can do better. I want to do better. I want to go forward. You have to go through the process. Okay, now another interesting idea that's brought out in the Sefer is, that was really the first Sefer, is the number of words. There are 22 words in the first Nusach, and there are 24 words. Don't even count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yes. 24 in the first Nusach, and the second is 26. Okay, we had two more. We had over here, Altaster Panecha Mimenu. So we add two more words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, yes, 26. Another thing to keep in mind, the difference of words. The first version has 24 words, and the second version has 26 words. What is the significance of these numbers? So the answer is, we're about to take out the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is the Shem Hashem. Okay, every single Hashem, there are many names of Hashem, but in the most abstract form, the whole Sefer Torah is Hashem. Yisrael v'kud shebichu v'yaraisa chad. We say all sometime when we take out on Yom Tov, we say Hashem, Hashem. Before we take out the Sefer Torah, we recite the Yud, the Gimel, Midos, Harachamim. And that begins with Hashem, Hashem. We're focusing on the name of Hashem. The numbers 26 and 24 are extremely relevant for the name of Hashem. Why? Well, 26, we all know, is the gematria of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. That everyone knows. What about 24? So if you go to Rabbi Shur, you learn very quickly that there are 24 tserufim of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. The number 24 is a very is a very popular number in relation to Hashem, a mathematician. How many possible combinations can you have of the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei? Make believe the first letter Hey is not the same as the last letter Hey. Yud Hey, and then there is a letter Vav Hey. Four letters. What's the permutation of Yud Kei Vav Kei? How many possibilities? We have the four. 24. There are 24 combinations of a word that has four letters. If you have a word that has four different letters, there are 24 possible combinations. Now, what's the problem with Hashem's name making 24 combinations? What's the basic problem? Because there are two Hays. So therefore, we have to basically merge the two Hays into one Hay. How many combinations are there? 12. It basically turns into a three-letter name, and there are 12 possible combinations. When do you make use of those 12 possible combinations? If you daven Nusach Sfarat on Rosh Chodesh Musaf, when you daven the Shemone Esrei, they have it even in the Siddur, they show you the 12 names of Hashem, and you're supposed to, Mimchavein, when you say in the Musaf, one of the 12 combinations. Are you familiar with this? We once spoke about this. Let me say my piece over here.
When we say 12 kids, it should be close between them.
And you should have a comma between them, okay?
If someone, I say that, if someone is going to say 12 kids right away together, he has only to it. Should be close in between of kids.
Okay. A punishment?
Yes, I saw punishment, yeah.
Woo! Okay, it's not easy to be a Sfarad. It's not easy. Okay, I've already said, look here. This is the Arsh. This is like base, right? This is nothing fancy. This is Arsh, right? Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Sfarad. See? Regular Sfarad. Shimon Esrei. Musaf. Musaf Rosh Chodesh. They have it here. You would think this is from the Rashash.
Yes,
on the page of the Shimon Esrei itself. Okay, on the page of the Shimon Esrei itself, of Nusach Sfarad, it says, on the bottom, Sirufei Shemois Liyud Beis Chodshe Hashana Mivuari B'Sefer Mishnas Chasidim L'Chavei Midei Chodesh B'Chodshe B'Birchas Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim. If you daven Nusach Sfarad, this is what you're supposed to do. When you get to the end of the Shemona Esrei, a regular Rosh Chodesh. Again, this is really, Allah, this is for the common man. We're not dealing over here Hechre and Yonim. This is art school Nusach Sfarad. When you get to the end of the Baruch, Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim, when you come to Hashem, you're supposed to look down, it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So you're supposed to be Mechavein, it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, that the order of the letters is, instead of it being Yud Kei Vav Kei, the order is Hei Vav Hei Yud. In other words, it's backwards. This month is the month when Hashem's name is represented backwards. And what does that respond to? And then there's always a pasuk. There's a pasuk where you have either the end letters or the beginning letters represents that month. Ze einenu, einenu shoyveli. Who said that? Haman. V'chol ze einenu shoyveli b'chol eis asher ani royes Mordechai Yehudi. He does not want to bow down to me. All of my gedulas, all of my success, my children, everything that I have in this world is worthless because this one little Jew refuses to bow down in front of me. Meshugna, Mahmoud was a sicko. One Jew doesn't want to bow down to him, his whole world was turned upside down. So the last letters of Zeh, Einenu Shoveli, spell Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud, which is the backwards of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. So that means that this Chodesh Tammuz, the Shem Hashem is represented Hey Vav Hey Yud, and it's referring to that pasuk of Ze Einenu Shoveli. Now, by the way, there's a whole safe someone put out, Rabbi Reisman, Tzvi Reisman. He's a business, he's a very successful philanthropist. He's from LA, a philanthropist. He put out a beautiful two volumes, one of the volumes on Rosh Chodesh, one whole volume is all built upon this. Is to explain the significance, a collection of ideas to show how each month in English, by articles, a beautiful sefer, each month, what in the world does Ze, Einenu, Shoveli have to do with Chodesh Tammuz? So he has in each of the 12 months a whole chapter showing the significance of Hashem's name being represented in a certain way, in the 12 possible ways and showing what the pasuk represents. Okay, now, how many combinations are there if you have a word that has four letters? Well, really, there are 24.
Right.
24. But the problem is there are two hays. Because there are two hays, so they're repetition. So therefore, we only have from 24, we're down to 12, and that's what we do on every Rosh Chodesh. But the truth is, on a higher level, the first hay is not the same as the last hay. And where do you see this? I think Chabad does this. Chabad, and you have to look in certain Sifrei Torah, when they write Hashem's name, the way they write the letter hay in the end is not the way you write the letter hey in the beginning of Hashem's name. By Beis Yosef, by the standard Sefer Torah, and your tefillin, almost 90% of the Sefer Torah, there is every single hey in the entire Sefer Torah is exactly the same. There's the way you make a hey, no matter where you are. Hashem has two of those heys. Yudke Vavke, there are two of those heys. And also, if you write a Ksav Ari and Vilish, also, a hey is a hey. There's no difference. You're only going to have the same hey. But by Chabad, and it's others as well, it's only Chabad, there's others as well, their minig is, when they write a Sefer Torah, they write a Ksav Ari, that's number one, and in Ksav Ari, in Hashem's name, the last hey of Hashem's name is a different hey. I don't know how it's done. It's done differently. The hay, the tsur of the hay, the leg of the hay is not the same as all of the other hays to indicate that the last hay of Hashem's name is not the same hay as the beginning hay of Hashem's name. It's the same letter. It's the same pronunciation, but it has a different form. What is the advantage of doing that? What is the advantage? You have 24. The permutation is 24, not 12. Is that significant? Well, for me, none of this means anything because I'm not familiar with these concepts. Okay, so none of this to me doesn't make a difference anyway. But to people who dwell upon these things, who study these things, that is a lot of significance in the world of Kabbalah. And thus, the number 24 becomes for them a very significant number when you relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. All of us appreciate the number 26 as Hashem. That's very easy. When someone says the number 26, every Shomer Torah mitzvah should right away, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on. It's a healthy thing, I think at least, for anyone who's a Shomer Torah mitzvah, so you say the number 26, you right away, oh, it's Hashem's name. Is that true for everyone over here? When someone says the number 26, hey, you don't have to be a Mekubal, you don't have to have any, everyone knows, Yudke Vavke is 26, that's like Hashem's name, lucky number. But the number 24 is just like that as well. The number 24 among, okay, that's not common among us. I don't pay attention to that. But people who are into these things, 24 also represents Hashem. And it's not for nothing that in Chazal, the number 24 is a very, very significant number. How many Mishmaris of Kohanim are there in the Beis HaMikdash? 24 of Levim, Yisraelim, how many Manas Kahuna are there? 24. Okay, what else? There's a long, I don't remember all the number 24. How many Sfarim Tanakh are there? 24. Sifrei Tanakh. Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh. Okay, how many ornaments does a Kala wear? 24. We don't do this today, but in Sefer Yeshaya, it says there the list, the 24 piece of jewelry that a Kala wears. The number 24 goes on and on. There's a long, what? Yeah. Manas Kahuna, this is more, even over here, I used to write these things down. What?
Midian.
20, right, very good. The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. You know, I actually have a whole collection of these things. What? 24,000 people died in Midian. There were 24,000 of Talmud Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the list goes on and on. Obviously, the number 24 is a very significant number. Where does it come from? It comes from Yudke Vavke. Because Yudke Vavke, the permutation of Yudke Vavke is 24. Ah, you'll tell me, I don't show you Rosh Chodesh, only 12. Yeah, for the common man, we don't differentiate between the first hay and the last hay, so therefore it's only 12. But those who do differentiate between the first hay and the last hay, and where you'll see an example of where indeed it is differentiated, specifically a Chabad, you look in their Sifrei, the Sofrim who write their Sifrei Torah, there's a difference, the first and the last, which makes a permutation of 24.
How you see how he's 24, 26?
But that's the gematria. The gematria, you're not listing, that's the gematria is 26. The permutation, the possible combinations of order of the word, the letters. The way to order, the way you can order the letters. Yud, K, Vav, K, you can order it. Yud, Hey, Hey, Vav. Yud, you mix up the letters. And there are two different Heys. The first and the last Hey, you end up with that number. So therefore, that's why these two things are in the order. Yud, K, Vav, K, that name. Therefore, it's Kedai to remember this, is that when you say Keller, Chapayim, the first one has 24 words by design, and the second one has 26 words by design. So it's a question, just merge it. Why don't you go say the Hoshienu Vihatsilenu Leman Shemecha? Why don't you merge it? If you merge it, guess what? You have 25. Nishtahi Nishtaher. Okay? If you're gonna merge it, you're gonna ruin it. It's not gonna, if you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it worse. It's gonna be either 25 or it's gonna be 27. So that's why you can't merge it. You have to say it separately. The first one is 24, and the second one is 26. Both of these represent the Shem Hashem. We want to remember Hashem. He is the one who gave us the Torah before we read from the Torah. So make no mistake, this is also a chelik of Tachanun, when you recite the Keller Chapayim. And the only difference is that before you recite this, you say Kaddish. You say a Kaddish in between different expressions of Tachanunim. You can say a Chatzi Kaddish. There's no harm done. It's mainly meant to when you take out the Sefer Torah, and that's why we all know that on a day when you don't say Tachan, everyone knows you don't say Kel Erech Hapayim either. It's not something to miss. And again, the two, remember the idea, one is Hoshienu and one is Hatzilenu. Hoshienu is the past, Hatzilenu is the future. When you say Hoshienu, you don't shuckle, you shuckle, you shuckle, like the lulav, on Hashem Hoshienu, and when you say Hatzilenu, you don't shuckle. You stand straight, like you don't shuckle. A little Vanessa, when you say Hatzlichana, you don't shuckle when you say, I'm just making a joke now, but whatever the difference is between Ana Hashirna, I'll leave you with the last far from the Sfas Emes. Everyone knows it, I'll just remind you of the Vard of Sfas Emes. He told his Chassid that this year, when you say Ana Hashem Hashirna, he told him on Rosh Hashanah.
When you say
Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem. When Mashiach is going to come, you're going to be zeicher to unbelievable Yeshua. So the Chassidim was so excited. The Rebbe said, when they say Ana, they have kavan by Ana Hashem, Mashiach's coming. So it came Sukkis, and they said it was whatever they Pesach, whatever it was, and they said Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, like none other, never before it was. It was unbelievable what was going on when they were saying on Hashem. And guess what? Nothing happened. Business as usual. Nothing happened. So they went to the Rebbe. Rebbe, what happened? So he said, I meant on Hashem ki ani avdecha. Not on Hashem Hoshiyana. Ki ani avdecha. You didn't say the wrong on Hashem. But you focus on what you can do for Hashem, not what Hashem is doing for you. That's why you blew it. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the stoikim for a few minutes.
Someone talked in the
Give.
What you are going to give to Hashem?
Don't say what you can do, what my country do for me. Say what I can do for my country. Kennedy. Famous. But who wrote that? Who wrote that? His own idea? Who's the speechwriter? I know Kenny said it, but who is the one that gave it to say?
Where does it say that you fast when the tzaddik dies?
You fast? Will you fast?
Nisa Sadikim.
The answer is Holy Yisrael Yivkres Asreif Asher Sarif Hashem. That's what you learn from Moshe. Moshe told Aaron, Nadav Avinu died.
Yeah.
You do avoida because you're the Kohen Gadol. The whole base Yisrael yivku es asreifa, asher saraf Hashem.
But this wasn't because they died, because it was a sreifa, asher saraf Hashem.
They died.
But this is different.
They died.
Hashem was upset.
So every time a person dies, Hashem is upset.
Is that a sreifa when every person dies?
No, it is a sreifa. Every time a person dies, it's
not true.
Yes, it is.
Six people died.
They died.
That you hope that
they die. The chait of Adam HaRishon. No. Every time a person dies, it's begeder. No matter what, even if a person dies 120 years old, He has this high misal, everything. The guy's 90 years old. He dies. Oh, he nails a full life.
Where's the card? Just like you're trying to find him a card.
That is the